I'm going to look at the third part now, which is from 1 Peter. It's again, the second part of it at least, is about the prophets. But the first part is so important because it says to all the Christians, you're prophets. You have to hear from the Lord and speak His word. Some in a very dramatic way, some just to your family. You parents have to speak the truth to your children and in a way that they can get it and be won over to it. You just can't say, shut up. You see? And so, this is one of the most beautiful texts in the Bible, the one we're going to be reading right now. In fact, I suppose I should even preface what I'm going to be doing. This is 1 Peter chapter 1. And it's quite beautiful. It's, as I say, I really think it's one of the most beautiful passages in the Bible. And when I got ordained, or when I celebrated my 50th, I don't remember which, this is the text I printed on the card. If I can't find it quickly, we'll just go on. Okay. Here. Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ to the chosen sojourners. Sojourner, that's a geir. That's somebody who's living in a place that's not his real home. And they have a word for it, the geir, translated sojourner. And they're in the dispersion. Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, Bithynia. You see, in the foreknowledge of God the Father through sanctification by the Spirit for obedience and sprinkling with the blood of Jesus Christ, may grace and peace be yours in abundance. Now the text starts, okay? There's a few more verses that I'm going to skip, and then starting with verse 8 of chapter 1, we have this text. And it starts off, you have not seen Him, yet you love Him. How is that possible? How is that possible? You have not seen Him, yet you love Him. But for every Christian who's trying to respond to the Father and has at least a minimal life of prayer, they know what that text is talking about. I love Jesus. I've never seen Him, but I do love Him. And I know it's the work of the Holy Spirit. You see? You love Him. And still without seeing Him, you believe in Him. Not just dogmatic faith. I believe in you, Jesus. You are the Son of God. You are my Lord. You are going to guide me through this life, hopefully doing your will all the time. And then you're going to bring me to eternal life. I believe in you. And so because of that, the text says, you are already filled with a joy so glorious it cannot be described. This is the Christian life. Then it goes on, and you are sure of the goal of your faith, that is, the salvation of your souls. You will be eternally with God if you are faithful to the work of the faith in you that the Holy Spirit is doing every minute of every day. If you'll just listen to Him. You see? You are sure of the goal of your faith, that is, the salvation, soteria, of your souls. Okay? And then it goes from there to talk about them. Now concerning this salvation, this is verse 10, okay? Now concerning soteria, the prophets searched and studied. You see? Those who prophesied concerning the grace destined for you. They prophesied. They risked their lives. They were killed and mocked. But the message they bore was for those people, but it's for you. Because you live, you see, in the time when everything they prophesied has taken place. So concerning this salvation, the prophets searched and studied those who prophesied concerning the grace destined for you. They studied what was the time and what the circumstances the Spirit of Christ in them was making known, as he witnessed before him to the sufferings destined for Christ and the glories that came after them. To them it was revealed that they were ministering these things not for themselves, but for you. They knew that these words, you know, were for a time to come. These things, everything they prophesied, has now been announced to you through those who preached the good news by the Holy Spirit sent from heaven. Into these things the angels long to gaze. And so you have this vision. This is a recapitulation, if you will, of salvation history. But it starts, you see, the part that I read for you, and then the text, although you have not seen him, you love him. Well, that's a mystery, isn't it? I guess it's based on the imperfect seeing, the way the Lord makes himself known to us. You know, if somebody says, do you know the Lord? Gosh, I hope you just say, yes, by the mercy of God, I know him. I wish I knew him better. I wish I didn't sin so much and could turn my life around and turn my face to him and learn from him and get to know him. And still, without seeing him, you believe in him. He promised us eternal life. This is my blood poured out for you, for me. I believe you, Jesus, you see? And so you are already filled with a joy so glorious it cannot be described. When you meet a real Christian, they're happy. They're happy. Why? Because they know where they're going. The Holy Spirit has taken that witness of Jesus and impressed it on their spirit. And so they have a joy. Concerning this salvation, the one that you know in your spirit, the prophets searched and studied. Those who prophesied concerning the grace destined for you. Isn't that beautiful? You see? This grace that was foretelling, forewitnessing. How do I translate that anyway? Forewitnessing, when you don't have that word in them, and prophesying as well, about the pathemata that the Christ would have, and there after that, glory. And to them it was revealed, and to us as well. The sufferings destined for Christ and the glories that came after them. They were ministering these things not for themselves, but for you. Now these things have now been announced to you. Do you get it? Do you know what's been announced to you? Do you ever take up the Bible and read it? Find out what these people who died to deliver this message, and it's for us, you see? For, by the Holy Spirit sent from heaven. Into these things, even the angels would like to get a look. See these wonders that God has done for us. Say, what a beautiful passage this is. You know, in 1 Peter. And so, you see, it starts in verse 8. Maybe we should read a few verses before that. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who in his great mercy gave us new birth to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. To a living hope. It's not a hope, a hope, a hope like that fellow used to do on the radio. This is a living hope. See? Through the resurrection of Jesus from the dead, to an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, unfading, kept in heaven for you, who by the power of God are safeguarded through faith to a salvation that is ready to be revealed. You see? And then, though you may now have to suffer a little bit, so that the genuineness of your faith, more precious than gold that is perishable, even though tested by fire, may prove to be for praise, glory, and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ. If we have tried and we have yielded to the Holy Spirit, when Jesus comes and we rise from the dead, if he doesn't come while we're still alive, we're going to be thrilled to death to see him. Jesus, I love you. I've waited for such a long time to see you. He's going to say, Francis, come over here. I love you. I have forgiven your sins. You didn't do a great job, but you tried to keep my word. Come now. You know, there's that lovely song about that from him, I will press on, running the race. And I forgot the rest of it now, but it goes, you know. And he'll get off his throne and he'll come and greet me. That's a beautiful song. And that's what this is talking about. And so then the text picks up. You have not seen him, yet you love him. What a miracle. Tonight when you're doing your evening prayer and you kneel down or sit down and you start talking to Jesus, there's a movement of love from you to Jesus created by the Holy Spirit. So even though you have not seen him, you love him. And still without seeing him, you believe in him. You've promised me eternal life. You've had your prophets explain what you went through to give me that life. The humiliation, the scourging, the crown, the trip to the cross, the crucifixion, humiliation. You see, that's what you did for me. And now, so now I'm filled with a joy so glorious it cannot be described. And I'm sure of the goal of my faith. I'm sure of the goal. I'm not sure of myself. I need help every day. That is the salvation of your soul. Why don't we think once in a while, what does that salvation mean anyway? How many places in the Bible does it describe what it means to be with God? Forever. Banquets, songs, friends, and at the very depth of our being, the very life of the triune God, keeping us in existence forever. We have to yearn for heaven. St. Therese taught us that, right? It's not just Christianity, it's not just a bunch of good moral rules. They are moral rules, and they're helpful, they'll get us to heaven. But Christianity is looking forward to being with God forever. That's what it's all about. And if we can't tell people that that's where we're going and where they're invited, what are we preaching? What are we telling them? You know, sure, you have to tell people once in a while. If you keep that up, you could wind up in an eternal death. But the message is not eternal death. The message is eternal life. And that's why it says, you see, to them it was revealed. And then that last line, which I want to just read a little bit of, you see, these things were not for them, were they for you? You know, and they've been made known by those who preach the good news by the Holy Spirit, and into these things even the angels long to gaze. Thank you. That's enough. We'll have to move to the gospel.